1 through 4. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to fathers by the prophets, has in these days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they.
Thank you, Bernard, for reading the Word of God, and we welcome you this morning to Faith Baptist Church. And as we were worshiping, Brother Tim, thank you for the worship, leading the worship this morning. I realized that I desperately need weeks before this day that we designate as Christmas, I need to be reminded of those truths. And so sometimes I wonder, maybe we should start about November 1st. but people may get a little tired of that. But at the same time, it's hard for me just to jump right into this worship and thought about the coming of our Savior in one way, but in another way, all the time, thinking about what God has done for us through Jesus and the coming of Jesus and why he came and what he accomplished for us. Let's bow our heads right now. And I would ask that you just join me in prayer this morning as we ask for God's help. We're looking at a passage this morning that will focus our attention on Jesus. Let's ask for the help of God as we study together. Father, we come to you this morning because we need you so desperately. And God, we want to turn away from just a religious activity. We want to turn away from some type of religious work that would take place today. And God, we want to just dedicate ourselves this morning as we continue to worship to your glory and your praise and the exaltation of your name today through Jesus Christ. And Father, we say through Jesus Christ because we know that it's only through Jesus that we can come into your presence. It's only through Jesus that we can understand these truths that we would see this morning. It's only through Jesus that we can know you and have life eternal. A life that would bring honor and glory to you right now, and a life that will forever do that. So thank you for Jesus. Turn our hearts toward him, the truth of his person, of his work, and what he's accomplished for your glory and for our good. Help us as we study together, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. As we now enter into this season, when our minds are turned to the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ and his coming into the world, I thought it would be best just for a few weeks to concentrate our attention on some clear, powerful, plain revelation about Jesus. And so we'll return to our teaching in the book of Romans of justification by faith in January. But right now, there are some passages in the New Testament that are especially helpful in seeing Jesus and understanding who he is and what he is like and why he came. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4 is one of those passages. I'd like to read it again, and this time with the purpose of setting our minds on the person and the glory of Jesus Christ. Please follow as we read it again. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. We read that again and we begin to comprehend why this is one of those great Christological passages that we find in the New Testament focused so clearly on Jesus Christ. But we begin this morning as we look at Jesus with a question. And the question is simple, and yet I would ask that you answer it in your own hearts and minds this morning. Do you want to hear God speak? Do you want to hear God speak? Maybe I can ask it in another way this morning. Have you ever faced a situation in your life when you would cry out, God, help me. God, I need direction. God, speak to me. I need your help. You ever faced those kind of situations or circumstances? Have you ever thought in your life how different my life would be if only God would speak to me? How we often wrestle and we struggle with direction and we want to know God's will and we look for it and we search for it and we say, if only God would speak to me, how better life would be. The first verses of Hebrews are very important because they tell us clearly and plainly that God is not silent, that God is not quiet, that God is not withdrawn and refusing to answer us. The good and encouraging and comforting and strengthening news this morning is this, that God has spoken. God has spoken. When we look here at Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, we can see that God has spoken, and He has spoken in two ways or in two phases. Look with me at Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, because we see, first of all, that He spoke before the coming of the Son of God into the world. And God also spoke through the coming of the Son of God into the world. Again, the writer of Hebrews says it this way, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds. What I'd like to do for just a few moments is consider the two ways that God has spoken. You see, before the coming of the Son of God into the world, the writer tells us here this morning, here in Hebrews chapter 1, that God spoke at various times and in various ways in time past to the fathers by the prophets. And I want you to notice in those words, three important things. First of all, do you see this? God spoke. God spoke. In other words, God communicates. God means to have contact with His people. God is not just a force or an idea, but God is a person to be listened to and understood and enjoyed and obeyed. God is a speaking person. And this is vitally important to us in our lives and our existence right now and forever. There is a God who speaks. There is a God who communicates. and He speaks so that we might know Him and love Him and live in a joyful, thankful obedience to Him. The writer says, God spoke. I'm thankful that God spoke. But then notice second, that God spoke by the prophets. This means that God's typical or His regular way of communicating to His people in the Old Testament time was by using human spokesmen as His messengers. You see, it was not God's way to write His message across the sky. It was not God's way to proclaim from the mountains His will and His way. It was not even God's regular way to whisper to each Israelite personally what He desired and what He wanted. But God's usual way was to call a prophet and then to speak to that prophet and move that prophet to speak or to write to the people what God wanted to be said. Look carefully at our text. I don't want you to miss this, because the writer says God spoke to the fathers. God spoke to the fathers. When the fathers heard and they understood the prophets, they heard God speaking through these men. They heard the word of God through these prophets. And God used chosen human instruments to speak to the fathers. But it was God who spoke. It's God who speaks to the fathers when the prophets would speak and when the prophets would write. God spoke by the prophets. And then notice there's a third truth here in these words, that God spoke at various times and in various ways. And folks, that tells us that God used variety in His communication. He spoke at different times, in different places, in different ways to the prophets. And this really should be a great encouragement to us today, because we all know that there are certain parts of God's Word that are hard to understand. And if God had only spoken in one way or in one place or in one situation and we didn't get it or we didn't understand it, then we would be frustrated and we would be disappointed because we didn't understand what God said at that place or at that time. But God didn't do it that way. He spoke in many places and in many times and in many ways. And so what that means is that if you have difficulty in understanding what God says in Leviticus, then you can understand what God says in Psalms. And if you don't comprehend the message of the prophet Nahum, then you can go to the prophet Jonah and understand that message. And if the revelation of God confuses you in some parts of the book of Ezekiel, then you can surely be encouraged by the words of Isaiah the prophet. And the point is simply this, that God means to give you many ways to hear Him. He has spoken, and He is not silent. He is not withdrawn. He is not quiet. And there are many places, many ways in which God has spoken through the prophets. So don't think that God is silent. And don't think that God has not spoken to you. Because if you say this morning that God has not spoken, it's like a person in Iowa complaining that there's no corn in Iowa because they can't see a cornfield from their kitchen. You see, the Word of God is before us. God has spoken to the prophets, and God's Word is here. But that's not all. Look at verse 2. Because in verse 2 we see that God speaking now is better than before. Verse 2 says, God has in these last days spoken to us by His Son. Now we look at that statement and I think the point is pretty plain. If God communicated in the Old Testament, if He communicated to the fathers, those Israelite fathers, and to the Jews in the Old Testament, how much more is He now ready to communicate by sending His Son, Jesus Christ. You see, folks, what the writer wants us to see here is that this last communication by God is far greater and better than all those various times and various ways that He spoke in the past. Now, it doesn't mean that that past speaking is not important. Amen. It doesn't mean that what the Son has given us and the way that God communicates to us through the Son lays aside what He said in the past, because what He said in the past is different. But He spoke to the fathers by the prophets, and get this now, He now, in these last days, speaks through His Son. Instead of going through a man or a prophet to speak, God speaks through His Son. God speaks through His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. He's now speaking in a much better way. Let's look then from the passage at several ways that the speaking of God in these last days is better than God's speaking in times past. Notice first of all, and I've already said this, but God spoke by His Son. God has now spoken not just by prophets, but by His Son. And this is very important here, that God has done something different to communicate. He sent His Son. He spoke by His Son. And folks, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, is not just a prophet. Some in His day thought He was a prophet. They proclaimed Him to be a prophet. One of His roles, prophet, priest, king, so there was a connection there, but He was not just a prophet. This is one of the great mistakes of Islam about Jesus. Jesus is not a prophet like Moses or Isaiah. Jesus is far above any man, Muhammad, Moses, any man, because Jesus is God the Son. He is the eternally begotten Son of God without beginning and without end. And so God has not just spoken through the prophets, but God has spoken by coming to us in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ. And what Jesus is, or what Jesus did, who Jesus is, what Jesus accomplished by dying and rising from the dead is God's Word to us. And this is what God said to us through His Son, and we should hear Him. And we should listen to Him. And we should pay attention to what He says. And so this truth then should move us to ask this question: well, have I heard God speak through His Son? Have I heard God speak through the teaching and the speaking and the living and the dying and the rising from the dead of the Son of God? Do I listen to Jesus through His Word? Then notice second, that the speaking of His Son is better than the prophets because the Son is appointed heir of all things. Verse 2, the writer says, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things. We read that statement, and if we're thinking, we should step back and we should say, why did He say that? Why did He make this statement that He has appointed, whom He, God, has appointed heir of all things? Well, folks, the answer has to be, in the very least, that when Jesus speaks, when the Son of God speaks, then He can make good all of His promises. That when the Son of God, Jesus, speaks, and He is the heir of all things, then He can back up everything that He says by power. Everything that He says by His resources, everything that He promises, Jesus Christ can back up. He can back up His words with all wisdom and power and resources. Why? Because He is the heir of all things. He has all things at His disposal. He is over all things. All authority has been given to Him. Now, think this through just for a moment. What does it mean to listen to Jesus, who has complete control and ownership over all things? Over land, over water, over fire, over wind, over energy, over weather, over natural resources, all nations, all might, all angels, all humans, all sickness, all tragedy, all spiritual and material things except God the Father. What does it mean then to listen to Jesus? Why should we listen to Him? Why is what He says so important? Why did the writer say He is the heir of all things? It means that He can make good on all of His promises. He can back up everything that He says with action. And folks, what that means then is this. That when He says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth," Jesus can make good on that promise. And when He says that nothing can separate us from the love of God through Christ Jesus, Jesus can make good on that promise. And when He says that all things work together for good to those who love God and who were the called according to His purpose, He can make good on that promise. And folks, when He says, even in the face of our old enemy death, that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, He can make good on that promise. You see, Jesus has everything. He is the heir of all things, and He can make good on His promises. When you listen to the Son of God, Jesus Christ, He will make good His word. And if that's not convincing enough, if you still have doubts that Jesus can do that and He has the resources or the power to do that, notice what the writer says. He says that whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the world, or the worlds, or the ages. See, someone might think that Jesus was a man just like us, and He was chosen by God to be exalted to some special place of authority and power, but yet they might say, but He's still just a man. But the writer of Hebrews lays that to rest very clearly, because he said that God, through His Son, made the worlds. You know what that means? He's the Creator. He is the Creator. That means that He's always existed and was with God at the creation of the world. And it means that the Son's action in creation brings ownership. And so not only is He the heir of all things, appointed heir of all things, but He is the Creator. God, through the Son, made all the worlds. And folks, both of these truths then point to that inescapable truth of the deity of God the Son. Jesus Christ is indeed God. But then notice in verse 2 that the writer says He is appointed heir of all things. Now wait a minute. He's the Creator, verse 2. Verse 3 says He's the sustainer of all things. So what does it mean that He was appointed heir of all things? Let's think through this. Right now, much of His creation is in rebellion against Him. But yet God has ordained that all these enemies in the future will be subdued and creation will bow down to Jesus. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 2 that every knee would bow. Of those in heaven, of those on the earth, and those under the earth, and every tongue would confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. See, there's coming a future time when all those enemies will be subdued. All those enemies will be put down. Hold your place and turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Look what the writer says. Hebrews chapter 10, and look at verses 12 and 13. Hebrews 10, 12 and 13. The writer says, and I love the clearness of this statement. He says, but this man, and who's he talking about? He's talking about Jesus. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, how long? Forever, sat down at the right hand of God. From that time, waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. In other words, Jesus Christ took his seat of authority with God the Father based on his death and resurrection. He had offered one sacrifice for sins forever. And so, folks, he not only has the right to be the heir of all things because he is the Creator, he made everything, but he is appointed heir of all things because he defeated his enemies and he purchased a people from sin and death by his own death and resurrection. And therefore, because he did it and it's done and it's complete and it's forever, he has been declared heir of all things. Not only because he's Creator, but because he's Redeemer. He did all those things. He defeated the enemies. Jesus Christ can make good on His word because He's God, He's the Creator, and He is the victorious heir over all things, including sin and death and Satan. Jesus Christ is over all. And so what He speaks is different. It's superior. God speaks through His Son, God the Son, Jesus Christ. And then there's one other way in this passage that God's speaking is better through His Son. Look at verse 2. There's no other way that God speaks. The writer says, God has in these last days spoken to us by His Son. So this word from God through His Son is so decisive and so full that there will be no more speaking by God in history. This is it. This is the final speaking of God. What it means, verse 2, in these last days, God has spoken to us in His Son. Now, these last days began with the coming of the Son of God into the world. That was the beginning of the last days. Folks, we're living in the last days and have been living in the last days since Jesus walked upon this earth. We're living in the last days of history before the final and full establishment of the kingdom of God. Let me give you an example. Today's December 7th. What happened on December 7th, 1941? Pearl Harbor was bombed. That, for the United States of America, was the beginning of World War II. But yet, think about the end of World War II. In the last days of World War II, the enemy was still fighting. There were still battles. There was still a struggle. But everyone knew who would win. In the last days of that war, the last days, everyone knew who would be victorious. The Allies were victorious. The mortal blow had been struck to the enemy. The fighting that remained were the last days of that war. Brothers and sisters, this morning, when the Son of God came into the world and He died and He was raised from the dead, the decisive battle was fought and won. Sin and death and hell had been conquered, and it was only a matter of time before the final triumph would take place, and we are living in that final time. We are living in those last days. But the point of the writer of Hebrews is this, that the word that God spoke by His Son is the final word. It's the decisive word. It will not be followed by a greater word or a replacement word. In Jesus Christ, folks, we have the fullness and the finality of God speaking. And what does that mean to us? It means that if we want the word from God, if we desire God speaking to us, if we need what God has to say, we have it. You hold it in your hands. We have that word before us. God has spoken to us through His Son. And God is calling us to hear and listen to this decisive, final, complete word by His Son, Jesus Christ. And so as we now move into this very special time of year, don't do it with your ears covered. Don't do it with your ears blocked. That's right, Zebby, with your ears blocked. But as we move now into this very special time of year, let's saturate ourselves with the Word of God through reading, through studying, through memorizing, through meditating, through soaking in the Word of God until it becomes a part of us. You see, folks, God in these last days has spoken to us by His Son. Listen to Him. Hear Him. Obey Him. God has spoken. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank You. Thank You for the message of the writer of Hebrews. Thank You for the simplicity and the clearness of his writing, this writing which has come from You, that we can understand Your speaking. And Father, thank You that You spoke in time past to the fathers of Israel through the prophets. Thank You for that. Thank You that we have it before us. We can read it. We can study it. We can know You. We can know how You respond to people. We can get glimpses of the human heart in the writings of the prophets. But, oh God, how we thank You that in these last days You have spoken to us through Your Son. And there's no other way that You'll speak. It's the final way. It's the full way. It's the complete way. God, help us to hear. Help us to listen. God, protect us from moving away or drifting away from the things we have heard. God, help us. And Father, as we move into this time of year, May our ears and our minds not be filled with the things of the world around us, but God, by Your Word, through Your Spirit, may the Word of God dwell richly in us. May we be controlled by the Holy Spirit. And God, may our ears be open to the speaking of the Son of God through His Word. Help us to be diligent. Help us to be disciplined. Help us, dear God, to be submissive through Your Word. And we'll praise You and thank You that wherever we are, whatever takes place in our lives, that we can go to the Word of God. We can go to the words of Jesus, and we can find the will of God. We can find the wisdom of God. And Father, the words and promises that are made have the full backing of the heir of all things, the one who has made the worlds through you, who sustains all things, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Thank you. May we glorify you and praise you now. Thank you for this word. Thank you that you've spoken. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.